I have to tell you, I am by nature a competitor. Do we have any other competitive people in the room? Every one of you should be raising your hand. If your wife was here, she'd be raising your hand for you. I grew up playing lots of sports. I learned very quickly that I had an aggressive personality. I learned very quickly that I desperately wanted to win. And I've always thought that it is better to win than to lose. Amen. But God did something incredible in my life. He actually gave me a wife who is as equally non-competitive as I am competitive. As a matter of fact, when we play any sort of game, my wife really, she just enjoys the game. It's not that she's not trying to win, but if she doesn't win, it's not that big of a deal. And for some reason, she had to learn it was a big deal to me when I lost. And we learned some powerful lessons early on in our marriage. I've tried to help my wife understand it's a lot more fun to play the game when you win. Amen? We're all competitive, are we not? Maybe it's competition in sports or business or life in general. And I have found in my life, and I'm sure you have in yours as well, that sometimes the most aggressive and the most competitive people in sports and business and life, like we are, sometimes they're also the same people that are willing to be defeated in their spiritual life. Maybe that's the case in your life tonight. When you play a game, when you play a sport, when you do your job, man, you're just all out. But there are things that are going on in your life that are defeating you. Maybe there's secret sins that you are hiding that you know are serious problems, but you're losing and not winning. There's a sin that maybe is even a public sin that needs to be dealt with in your life. And I think it's important tonight that we learn how to exercise ourselves into godliness in a very specific way. And specifically, that God would give us victory over temptation. Victory over temptation. And I will say, especially since I'm speaking to just a group of men here tonight, we have, I think, only one lady in the room, and she can listen too. It's okay. But I do believe here in Genesis chapter 39 that the temptation that Joseph faced is frankly the temptation that is destroying a lot of men. And it's almost every month that I hear of another story of somebody who has really lost their purity, somebody who has maybe even had to get out of the ministry as a result of immorality and sexual impurity in their life. And of course, we know, men, that there is a real battle that is raging in this area. And I know that because we're all men, we're all made the same way, and it's a temptation that we face. And guess what? We're going to learn from the life of Joseph how we can have victory, how we can have victory over temptation. Because we're all struggling, every one of us, but we need to be winners, not losers, in this specific area of purity. And so Genesis chapter 39 is an incredible chapter that reveals to us one of the tests of faith that Joseph went through. Now, you got to understand, we are jumping into the middle of a bigger story here. The story of Joseph, I believe, in the book of Genesis helps us to see that God keeps his promises and God keeps his covenant to his people. And God utilized one young man named Joseph to rescue the entire nation of Israel. You know, often I think about it this way. If God can use Joseph from a family background of anger and abuse, and then the false accusations, and then being cast into prison again, and God can use Joseph through all of these trials and tests that he went through, then surely God can use me. And there's really no excuse. Joseph could have made the excuse, well, I had a bunch of brothers who hated me, and I had a dad who favored me, and I had abuse in my home. And then I get to Egypt when I've already been sold into slavery, and I'm falsely accused for something that I didn't do. And Joseph could have hung it up. He could have said, no way am I ever following God. God, you're messing up my life. But God was not messing up his life. And may I say to you, men, God's not messing your life up either. God is writing a beautiful story in every one of our lives, and it's really how we respond to the difficulties, how we respond to the tests. And so we have the climax of the story at the end of the book of Genesis, and we find that in the story, we have the theme of the entire story of Joseph given to us, and that is, You meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good. And of course, we know the New Testament tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So I don't want you to miss the overarching theme of this story, and that is that God is sovereign. He knows how to handle our lives. And he is writing a beautiful story of grace in your life. Don't resist it when there's trouble and pain and sorrow and suffering. Do what Joseph did and continue to walk with God. Let God set you up. And Joseph gets placed second under Pharaoh, and because of it, he saves his family and he saves the entire nation of Israel. And one of the tests that we read about is here in Genesis chapter 39. You see, we all face what Joseph faced here. He was a man of God facing the temptation for impurity, sexual impurity, right here in this chapter. And I love the Bible because it doesn't conceal situations like this. And we heard about another incredibly graphic story last night. It's in the Bible and teaches us lessons, and we can learn lessons from these stories. And the Bible is meant to show us principles that can guide our life. And we can learn lessons from the life of Joseph here in Genesis chapter 39. Listen to what the Bible says in James 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted. Can you say amen to that? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Since the Garden of Eden and since Adam and Eve plunged the human race into sinfulness, everyone is going to struggle with sins, with besetting sins that are going to plague their life. And you know what? There are some of you, and maybe you are feeling a little discouraged, maybe you're a little down, and if the truth were known, you're about ready to quit, and you're almost to the point where you're just like, there's no way I'm ever going to see victory in this area of my life. This message is not meant to discourage you. It is meant to give you hope. We have been singing about Jesus Christ. We've been singing about victory in Jesus Christ. There is hope when you know Jesus. There is hope when you have God's grace enabling your life. But you better not do it your way. You better follow God's path and God's plan. And I'm talking about a purity, sexual purity, mind and body, that we would resist the temptation of the world, which is pumping it into us every day. It's okay, it's fine, whether it's with your eyes or your mind or your body, it is fine. And so many men are giving into this temptation, and it's destroying their life and their marriage and their family and their reputation and their testimony. And most importantly, it is detracting from the glory of God that could be seen in our lives. So it's so important that we learn the lessons from the life of Joseph. So we're going to talk about temptation. Temptation is not sin, but giving in to temptation is. Let me say that again. Temptation is not sin because we all face it, but giving in to the temptation is sin. We're going to look at it in these three ways. Number one, we're going to look at the time of temptation. Secondly, we're going to look at the truth about temptation. And remember, specifically, the exact temptation. There are varied temptations, but specifically, the exact temptation that Joseph faced. And then we're going to look at, number three, the triumph over temptation. And that's really one of the most beautiful parts of this story, is we see step by step some things that Joseph did that we can do that will help us to be successful in this matter of purity and facing the temptations of impurity in our lives. So notice number one, the time of temptation. So we haven't read any of the story yet, but we'll work our way through the narrative, through the story, as we see these principles. Notice number one, the time of temptation. You see, I believe that it is important that we understand the tricks of the devil. He knows the most susceptible time when we will give in. He is very wise. He's very smart. Praise the Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And there are certain occasions, certain time periods in our lives as men where we know that we are weak and we're frail, and we could easily give in to that temptation, the temptation of sexual impurity. Start reading in verse 1 with me, Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, there's no way I can summarize the whole story, but you know, his brothers have sold him, into slavery. They were angry with him because of his reputation with the father and the coat of many colors. And he comes out to his brothers, and they rip the coat off. They throw him into a pit. Reuben was going to save him, but instead they decide to not kill him literally, but to kill him by getting him out of their life. And so they sold him into slavery, and he is purchased by Potiphar, who is the captain of the guard. Now look at verse 2. This is an incredible statement. And the Lord was with Joseph. We know that God is with us as well. It says in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You know what this tells me? This tells me that, first of all, temptation comes when we are strong. We're not looking at a story about a weak person who's immature in his faith. He's already responded appropriate to the trials that has come into his life. Here's a young man who longs to walk with God. The Lord is with him. Sometimes we think that impurity and sexual impurity only comes upon people that are weak in their faith. Well, the temptation is going to be in your life when you are spiritually strong. I'm just going to warn you right now, as soon as you drive off of this mountain, after a time of spiritual renewal and refreshment, singing the songs of the faith and hearing messages that are appropriate for your life, making good decisions, I'm going to tell you right now that the temptation's probably going to come, and it could be even one of the strongest times of temptation for you, immediately after you've made decisions for God. The Bible tells us there's a man named King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 15 and 16. And here's what it says about Uzziah. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction, and he transgressed against the Lord his God. So it's important that we recognize that spiritual pride or spiritual piety sets us up for a fall, sets us up for a disaster. And really, the Bible says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. So temptation will come, and it'll come in a strong way when we are spiritually strong. Number two, I want you to see this. Notice verse 2 again as we continue to walk through the story. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Look at verse 3, the second part of the verse, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. So not only does temptation come when we are strong, but temptation comes when we are successful. When we are successful. Maybe you're not only doing well in your spiritual life, but maybe it seems like everything's going well in your life as a whole. Now some of you are thinking, well, that's not me. You're not talking about me. Maybe the business life is going well. Maybe family life is going well. Maybe God just seems to be blessing in so many different ways. Well, Joseph was like that. He was one of those guys that had like the Midas touch. You know what I'm saying? He had all the talent, and everything he did seemed to prosper. He obviously was an administrator. He was a leader. He was nice looking. He was athletic. He was strong. He had all of these things going for him, but he was not exempt from temptation. And neither are we. The most successful king of Israel was King David. Did he face a temptation of sexual impurity? We know that story. He should have been out with Joab. He should have been doing what he was called to do. He was a warrior king. And it says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings would afford the battle, that David sent Joab and his servants and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Here's a successful warrior king who stays back, and when he's in some of the most successful times of his reign, he faces this temptation of sexual impurity, and he commits adultery with Bathsheba. So it comes when we are prosperous, when we are successful. And again, be careful when everything seems to be going well in your life. And there doesn't seem to be too many problems, and things are going fine. That's exactly when the devil wants to take you down. And he will use your own wicked flesh. Not the devil's fault, it's our own fault if we give in. So it comes when we are strong. Number two, it comes when we are successful. Notice the third time that it comes. Look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, the sight of Potiphar. He was obviously not only honoring God, but he was honoring his authority. He was living well in the house. And he had caught the attention of Potiphar. And it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Temptation comes, are you ready for this? Even when you're serving other people. And I actually believe, and I think we could, many of us that are in the ministry could testify of a number of people through the years who, while they were involved in ministry, I mean faithful pastors and preachers and Christian school teachers and youth pastors, while they were in ministry, while they are serving, they're covering up immorality in their life. And they're giving into sensuality. And I actually think that the devil knows if he can take down a pastor, he takes the reputation of the pastor and it affects so many other people as well. And he's aggressively attacking people that are attempting to serve God. Be careful. Do not have this attitude. Well, as long as I'm faithful to my church and I'm ministering somewhere in my church, surely the temptations will not be so hard. It comes when we are serving. And then finally, skip down to verse 11. Don't worry, we'll read the rest of the story in just a moment, but you probably know a little bit about the story. And look what it says in verse 11. Not only does it come when you are strong, and it comes when you are successful, it comes when you are serving, but number four, it comes when you are in secret. When you are in secret. Verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. This is the setting. This is the time when Joseph was tempted. And you know what? In the area of impurity and sensuality, when we're all alone, when we're by ourselves, when nobody's there, we think nobody's watching, we can indulge our flesh and we can think that nobody's going to know. Listen, we know the Bible teaches us the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'm just going to warn you, man. It's a warning for me as well. This is a message for all of us. That when we find ourselves by ourselves in a situation, definitely we should not be by ourselves with another woman that's not our wife. But even when you're all alone and you have the opportunity with your phone or your device or some television, or you can surf the internet and you can get involved in pornography, you can watch whatever you want to and look at, it's a very dangerous place to be when you're all alone. Set up protections. Get some accountability. Have some friends that are asking you the tough questions. Why? Because we want to be victorious. You know what victory is? It's purity. Be ye holy as God is holy. And specifically, in the world in which we live, we are bombarded with sensuality, with sexuality all around us, and men of God must be vigilant. You need to take a stand for God and be victorious. And you need to understand that when you're strong and serving and successful and in secret, that's when the temptation is going to come. You know, if the truth were known, probably many of us in this room would say, this is the one area, this is the one sin that we know that if the devil could get us, he would get us with this one. Maybe you have several besetting sins, but probably for most of the men in this auditorium, this is definitely one of the top, at the top of the list. I have the privilege of working with several hundred college students, and I can tell you that almost every week of my life I'm talking to guys about their purity. It used to be that if you got involved in pornography on a college campus, you were expelled because it took a lot to get pornography back when I was in college. If we were to expel every guy that was involved in pornography, I'm wondering how many students we would have. Because the reality is, pornography is like an epidemic that is going across the church today and across young men today. And I'm wondering what their marriages are going to look like someday. I'm wondering how their families are going to be someday if they are getting addicted to pornography when they're in their teenage years. I've talked to several college students in the last year who started on pornography when they were like 12 or 13 years old. And still to this day are struggling big time with an addiction to pornography. I'm telling you, we need to have victory. Not only our purity, but for the sake of relationships, for the sake of our families, and for the glory of God, we need to resist the temptation. And we're going to see there are some specific things that we can do. The time of temptation. Number two, let's look at the truth. The truth about temptation. as we continue the story, let's read in verse 5, starting in verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Wow, you might want to underline that phrase. That's incredible. Here's a godly young man stripped away from his family, dropped into this worldly environment. He's all by himself. And because Joseph was in the house and God was blessing Joseph, there's this blessing coming upon the house of Potiphar. Wow, God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. In other words, Joseph was the administrator. Look at the end of the verse. This is important to the context of this story. And it's why it's included in this account at the end of the verse. And Joseph was what? A goodly person and well-favored. All right, that's the old English or King James language that says he was a handsome young man. He was a good-looking guy. And that is obviously important for what we're about to read. And it came to pass in verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. He was a goodly person and well-favored. And she said to him, "Lie with me." But he refused. Amen? But he refused. Say it with me. But he refused. Wow, we can read that so quickly and not realize how hard and how difficult that was. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand." In other words, he's saying to her, "I am the leader here. I'm the administrator here. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Wow. This is an incredible story. It's almost like you could put this in our culture, and these kinds of occurrences are happening regularly in American society, where carnal, wicked, sensual women who are described in Proverbs chapter 6 and 7 who are flirting and flattering and fluttering their eyes, those are the kind of women that are testing and tempting men all across America. This is exactly what he was facing. So what's the truth that we learn about the nature of temptation from this story? Well, we learn this. Temptation is persistent. Temptation is persistent. And you know what, guys? I just want to encourage you tonight. Until we get to heaven, we're going to continue to face different struggles. And I think even in this area of sensuality and sexuality, this is something that we're going to need to learn how to handle, because it's not going away. It's persistent. It says in verse 10 that it was happening, this specific temptation, this immoral woman throwing herself at him, this was happening, it says in verse 10, day by day. I happen to believe that that's language that helps me to see that we're reading only one of the occurrences, but this could have been happening to Joseph almost every day. We definitely know it means it was multiple times that he was facing this specific temptation with Potiphar's wife. It got so persistent that in verse 12 it says she actually literally grabbed him. She grabbed him by his garments, and he had to get out of there. As much as I would love to tell you that it's just going to leave and you're never going to struggle anymore, that's not the truth. The truth is, temptation is persistent. And this is why heaven is so beautiful, amen? Because there's no more sin. Praise the Lord. No more struggle. No more testing or temptation in these areas that we struggle with daily. But temptation is persistent. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 7. You probably are familiar with Romans chapter 7. I love this text because it shows me the honesty and the humility of the Apostle Paul. And I think both of those words are important if we're ever going to see victory in our lives. Honesty and humility. And I think they go together because some men are not willing to admit where they're weak. And the reason they're not willing to admit where they're weak is because they're proud. You see, those who are humble are eager to share their weaknesses and their frailties with God and even with others. And I think we shouldn't be afraid about having that transparency, especially as men. Because aren't we all struggling with this? Aren't we all struggling with our eyes and our minds and our bodies in this area of sensuality? The same thing Joseph was facing. So we need to be honest and we need to be humble. And we need to be willing to talk about it without feeling like everybody's judging us and condemning us. And especially as men, there should be accountability. There should be friendship. There should be prayers, prayers for purity, prayers that we would be successful in specifically this area. Because our marriages depend on it, and our families depend on it. And our testimony for the glory of God depends on this. And so we desperately need God to help us. And so there's this humility that says, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. This is the struggle that I face. And Paul shows us that humility and that honesty. Look at chapter 7, verse 18. He says, For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Can somebody say amen, please? I think if there is anything in my personal life that has helped me to see how weak I am, it's how often I struggle with impurity, with my eyes or my mind, and how the battle rages and it still seems to be a struggle day after day. If there's anything that should cause us to say, wow, my flesh is weak, but God, I need your help. I need to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If there's anything that should help us to see that, it is this specific battle of purity that is raging in our lives and in our bodies every day. And so he goes on and he says this. He says, for I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. I hope this is true about you. In other words, you want to do what is right. Boy, don't we want to be pure? He says, I want to do what is right, for the will is present with me. He says, this is the spirit that I have. I do want God's will. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. We find ourselves in this place as well. There are times where we know what we're supposed to do, and we even want to do that, but we're not getting the power, or we're not finding the way to do what we know is right. He says in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Wow, we've been there too, right? We know what's right. We could quote the verses, but we don't obey. We know what's wrong. We could say it to other people, and sometimes we even condemn other people for the very things we are doing. That's pretty hypocritical. And we know this feeling, don't we? He's really describing the inner turmoil that goes on in even the life of a Christian. Praise God, our sins are under the blood, but this is a struggle that goes on because we're not rescued from the presence of sin. We do have the power to overcome, but this is still persistent in our life, this struggle, this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Well, we don't have time to read all the verses, but he tells us there's a war going on. In verse 23, I see another law in my members warring, and it is a war, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. He says in verse 24, and this should be our spirit, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There is only one answer to that question, only Jesus, only the cross. Only the gospel. I mean, just imagine trying to stay pure without salvation. Just imagine trying to stay pure without the Holy Spirit enabling your life. I don't know how anybody does that, because we know how strong the temptation is. But with the power of God on our life, we can be successful. We can be victorious. Only Jesus Christ. And he answers the question, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is the struggle that we have. And men, it's not going away. So we need to strategize. We need to be competitors, in a sense, in our spiritual lives. We need to figure out how to be victorious, or it's going to destroy you. There might be some of you, you're on the cliff. You're about ready to jump off. You're about ready to lose it all in this area of purity. And maybe you are so into pornography, or you are already flirting around with some woman that you should not be flirting around with. Or maybe there's even immorality going on in your life. And you feel like maybe you can't even get out of it. Listen, there's hope, but you have to do what God says. You have to follow His plan, and part of His plan is exemplified for us in this story. So it is persistent. Go back to Genesis chapter 39. Temptation is not only persistent, but watch this. In Genesis chapter 39, we also see temptation is persuasive. It's persuasive. Potiphar would not have married anyone who was not one of the most beautiful ladies of all of Egypt. He had a prestigious position. Who he married would have helped his testimony and his reputation. I guarantee you that this woman was a very beautiful woman. She was probably not only flirting with Joseph, but probably others in the house. She had a serious problem. She was what we call a strange woman. It was a very persuasive person. And this is what lust is. Lust is an out-of-control desire. The sexual desire is a normal, natural desire that God has created into us. But if we let it get out of control, then it becomes a lust, an inordinate affection, an inordinate lust that God does not want us to be involved in. This is the lust, a strong, passionate desire that can get out of control. And it is persuasive. And I want to tell you that sin does look good. It does. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And so I would be a lying preacher to tell you that, you know, that even the sins of immorality and sensuality and impurity that are all around us, I would be lying to you if I didn't say to you that it appeals to us. It looks good. It's kind of like some have been talking about fishing, right? So when you go fishing, you throw out the bait. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I'm way too impatient to be a fisherman, okay? I would be sitting out there thinking, what should I be doing rather than waiting for a fish to bite my hook? And usually when the fish bites, it's a small one, and you just throw it back in, right? I saw some of these guys fishing today. But you know what? If you are a good fisherman, you could spend a lot of money on a lure, right? A lure sparkles and it shines and it spins. Some of these guys, I was looking at some of those little flies you're using. I mean, I don't know how much they cost, but they're not cheap, I'm sure. But they somehow that entices the fish, right? So that fish is swimming by and it sees the lure. It looks good. It looks pleasurable. They think they're getting a meal. What they don't know is you're getting a meal, right? So they swim by and they chomp down on that lure. Behind every lure is what? A hook. Behind the pleasure, there's always a hook. And a hook leaves scars. And you start reeling in that fish and you slap it on the grill and you are eating that fish for supper. And you know what? This is exactly what the devil does. He throws out the lure. He throws out the bait. And men, it looks good, but it's not good. There's a hook which leaves scars and ruins lives. And so it's really important that we understand what temptation is going to do. It is persistent and it is persuasive, and we're going to continue to face it. So we need to learn how to triumph. This is our third point. Number one, the time. Number two, the truth about temptation. And number three, in a beautiful way we see in this story, number three, the triumph over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." I love that. There's always a way out. There's always a way of escape. 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation." And we know that we have the power to succeed in this because there is a man who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Our Savior, the one who has rescued us from sin and death and hell, the one who is enabling our life, longs for us to be like him, and Jesus resisted temptation, and so can we. So how did Joseph resist? How did he triumph? How did he have victory? Well, I want to quickly give you 5 steps to success, 5 steps to victory. I hope these will be helpful and practical for you, and I promise you, if you will obey God and you will actually sincerely and seriously put these things into your life, you will start to see a measure of success. There will be times of failure. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. So do not expect perfection, because is there anybody in here that's going to be perfect, and especially in the area of what we look at and what we think about? Hello? But we should strive for protection, right? Or for perfection. We should strive to be right with God. And so I'm not saying that if you put these steps in your life, that supernaturally, mystically, magically, you're going to be removed from the temptation and you're going to see incredible success. You still have to struggle through these steps in a spiritual way in your life. All right, what did Joseph do? Now, there's only one of these that I cannot prove perfectly from the actual story or the text of Scripture, but I'm kind of speculating a little bit on this. I think it is a legitimate speculation. Number one, and this is the one I'm talking about, I believe Joseph, number one, resolved in advance. Now, there's some good logical ways that we could say that Joseph did this. This was a very intense sexual temptation, and I do believe that Joseph had already determined, probably years prior, that he was going to keep himself pure. He probably knew his God so well that he was already committing himself to purity. Probably many of you men have done this at some point in your life, maybe when you were a teenager, maybe in college, where you said, man, I'm going to keep my life pure. I'm going to keep myself for one person to that wedding altar, one man and one woman in marriage for life. And I'm sure that Joseph had already decided what he would do. And maybe even when he walked into the house, he recognized that there was a wicked woman. Can I just tell you something, men? You ought to recognize that too. At your workplace, in your neighborhoods, even at your church. There could be some wicked women. And you know what? You know what they're like. You know what they do. You know how they talk. You know the kind of flirtatious things that somebody could do. You know what? Joseph recognized it. And he saw it probably immediately as he walked into the house. And we know that Joseph had already decided and made his choice ahead of time to keep himself pure. And men, the best way that we can do this is by memorizing the Word of God. I want to ask you, how many verses do you know on purity? Do you know any? Do you know any verses about your eyes? Do you know any verses about your mind and how you think and what you meditate on? Do you know any verses about fornication and immorality? I'm not talking about just knowing about them. I'm talking, do you know them? Do you memorize them? This is how we can be successful, by understanding there's power in the Word of God. How do we know there's power in the Word of God? Well, the Scripture tells us that, but Jesus also exemplified this. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 3 times he said this, it is written. And you know what? The devil doesn't like that when we quote the Scripture. Now, I'm not going to say that as soon as you quote the verse, the temptation leaves. You still have to do the next step, okay? It's not this supernatural thing, just quote the verse and all of a sudden you're removed. No, you still have to make the right decision. But what I'm saying is that the Bible helps to give you the power to make the right decision. You got to know God's Word. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Daniel 1 verse 8. There needs to be a resolution ahead of time. And can I just say, even this evening is a great time to do that. You're in a spiritual environment. You're with a lot of other men that love God. You've been hearing the Word of God. You've been singing the songs of the faith. You're hearing a message, a specific message that might be really convicting you about what you've been doing and what you've been looking at and how you've been living. Then why don't you make a decision now, tonight, about what you're going to do in the following days, next week, next month, and set a strategy how you can be successful. Resolve in advance. Number two, this is obvious. in the text, verse 8 says, but he refused. Say it with me again. But he refused. Number one, resolve in advance. Number two, refuse aggressively. Refuse aggressively. Proverbs 1 verse 10 says this, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. James 4 verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That word resist is like a military resistance. It's like soldiers standing against the enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, don't think that that verse means that you're never going to face any more temptation. You know what I found in my life? When I feel like I have victory in one area, the devil will find another one. So don't be so proud to think that you're a person that the devil's not going to touch. Just because you've gotten victory in one area doesn't mean there's not other areas you're going to struggle with. And like I said, I think in the area of purity, we're going to continue to struggle. We're going to have lengthy times of victory, I hope. And maybe even years of victory, but then maybe every once in a while, a momentary bad thought or a wrong action or a wrong look. But we need to guard our hearts and we need to refuse the sin. We need to say no to sin. That's a powerful word. No. No. Now, I want to say something very clearly. Do you realize we don't have the power to say no apart from God? Apart from his strength. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Listen to this. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able. So, men, this is why spiritual disciplines are so important, because it's the armor. The armor is not real armor. Of course, you know that. It's an illustration. But the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your loins girt about with truth, carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when we put these spiritual disciplines into our lives, now we are able, with God's power and God's protection, we are able to resist and stand against the tricks of the devil. So, number two, refuse aggressively. Number three, recognize the effects. Recognize the effects. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. And can I say the consequences of sexual immorality, fornication, adultery are very serious. Very serious. And so it's important that when we start delving into things that we shouldn't be delving into, we start to think in our minds, oh, what's going to happen? Because the Bible says if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You're going to reap what you sow. And what's amazing in this verse is that the very first effect of his sin that he focuses on is not how people will respond to him, or not his testimony or his reputation, but the first effects that he draws out, the consequences of his sin that he draws out, were spiritual in nature. They have to do with his relationship with God. He had such a close relationship with God that he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. And there are serious effects upon our relationship with God when we give in to temptation, when we give in to impurity. Proverbs 11 verse 19 says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. There's no fellowship, there's no friendship. Though he's still your Savior, you may be out of fellowship with him and could be for months and even years because of the sin that you're involved in. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So there are these spiritual consequences that come. And when we're in the moment of temptation where the persistent, persuasive sin is being placed in front of us, we need to start thinking, if I do this, this is what will happen. If I do this, this is what will happen with my relationship with God. And of course, there are also some other relationships that we should consider. But the most important relationship is the one with God. So recognize the effects of your sin. I think God is very gracious in the Bible to tell us what happens to us when we do wrong. That's not mean. That's a God of grace. It's a warning. It's a gracious warning to us. But God keeps his word. God does keep his word, so it should be a warning to us and that we know what the consequences will be. But there are so many other consequences we could talk about as well. But we do need to recognize that if we choose to give in, especially in this area that Joseph was being tempted in, if we give in this area and we have sexual immorality or adultery or immorality in our mind or whatever, that there are serious consequences that we need to think about. And that should protect us and guard us. Number four, remember your authority. Number one, resolve in advance. Number two, refuse aggressively. Number three, recognize the effects. Number four, remember your authority. I need to mention this because not only does he appeal to God, but he appeals to his authority. And he says, listen, Mrs. Potiphar, you're the only thing that my boss has not allowed me to have power over. I'm in control of the entire house, but you're his wife. I don't have control of you. And I love this because I think many times we would be protected if we would simply obey the authorities that are around us. I think especially for those of you that are young men, listen to your parents, listen to your pastors, listen to your teachers, obey your authority. I think there are some young men that are involved in some things that if they would just obey their parents, that stuff wouldn't be in their life. Just obey your authority. And so he recognized and remembered his authority. All right, so let's finish with number five. Resolve in advance, refuse aggressively, recognize the effects, remember your authority. Are you ready for this last one? Run from the attack. Run from the attack. I love this. Verse 12. And he fled and got him out. And he fled and got him out. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. Listen, guys, why are we putting ourselves in a place of temptation? We should be running away from it. If you know there's a place, or you know there's a person, or you know there's an activity that you could be involved in where you know the temptation's going to be strong and great in that specific place or person, then why in the world are you going there? Run from the attack. Flee fornication. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. And I think really, especially in this area of immorality, the best policy is don't stick around and try to fight it. Leave. Get out of the situation. And men, I would just encourage you to put these steps into your life. This is what helped Joseph to be successful. Remember, he was walking with God. He resolved in advance. He recognized the effects, refused aggressively, remembered his authority, and then he ran from the attack. And if you will put these steps, by God's grace, into your life, you know what? There's hope for us. Aren't you tired of being defeated? Aren't you tired of giving in? Well, there's victory. We're on the Lord's side. We have his power. And if Joseph can walk with God, so can we. So what I'm trying to do is kind of be like a little bit like a coach who says, guys, come on, let's go. Let's win the battle. Let's go out there and beat this team. You know what? I loved it when my coach would talk to me like that. He'd kind of get in my face and say, come on. I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd go out there and I'd try to win the game. You know what? That's what I'm trying to do to you. I don't want you to leave discouraged. Don't think, man, I've been failing so much. I don't know if there's ever any victory. Listen, we've all had failures. Get back up. Confess your sin. Maybe tonight you need to confess your sin. Maybe tonight you need to talk to somebody for accountability. Maybe tonight you ought to download a filter. Maybe tonight you ought to get some restrictions on your phone. Maybe even tonight you should make a commitment to God about something that is going on in your life. But I'm telling you, temptation and the sin of immorality will take us down very quickly if we're not careful. We need to be men of God. We need to be pure. So I challenge you, men, tonight. In this invitation, man, should there be any of us that aren't on our knees? Just saying, God, I want to be pure. But maybe specifically as you're getting on your knees before the Lord tonight, you need to just confess what you've been doing and what you've been seeing, how you've been acting, so that you can really be a man of God that is pure. Mind, body, soul, right with God. God can give us victory. I hope He will for you tonight.